Look at the pure breeds losing their grip. Pure what? It's a lie. Ask your DNA.
Beige power, mixy mix, arousing. Gonna look the same by the year 3000.
So all you mixed race beauties,
rise up.
Not gonna happen, disappointed you'll be. So embrace the beige, mixy mix today.
Beige power, mixy mix, arousing. Gonna look the same by the year 3000.
Most people outside of Canada might not remember the 2016 satirical rap sketch from the national broadcaster CBC and its show This Hour Has 22 Minutes called Beige Power, featuring Sean Majumdar. In the sketch, he was hyping the inevitable mixed race future where everyone's beige and framed this as the positive and inevitable dilution of the so-called pure breeds, or what he meant was white populations. The sketch drew heavy criticism for allegedly promoting white genocide through its celebration of demographic changes and anti-white undertones, resulting in a public outcry over taxpayer-funded content seen as divisive and harmful, and resulted in the CBC disabling video comments amid the backlash. But this song and sketch is still very relevant 10 years later. First, the transformation or replacement or whatever you'd like to call it currently taking place in Western nations has only accelerated. In recent days, Elon Musk has been posting a lot about how this isn't some conspiracy as the media and academics would like to tell us. It is an objective reality already underway, as evidenced by statistics such that 73% of children in Brussels are now of non-European descent. He's also arguing it's turning our countries into something unrecognizable, and unless birth rates climb and the need to start taking re-immigration seriously, Western civilization is finished, in that you cannot have the West without Western people. Even Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, is talking about Europe's civilizational erasure. While some still call this a conspiracy theory, so conspiratorial that the UN wrote a 177-page paper outlining this very thing down to the most minute of detail, others have moved on to say, well, yes, it is happening, and that's a good thing. Consider Bengali British and self-described communist and frequent commentator in the British media, Ash Shakar, as she has repeatedly described the replacement migration going on in Europe as a dangerous far-right conspiracy theory as little as 3 years ago.
The lineages of white Britons in their homeland commonly go back hundreds of years, yet for the country's original inhabitants to confront becoming a minority in the UK, perhaps in the 2060s, with any hint of mournfulness, much less consternation, is now racist and beyond the pale. I submit that prescription is socially and even biologically unnatural. She goes on to write, for Westerners to passively accept and even abet incursions by foreigners so massive that the native-born are effectively surrendering their territory without a shot being fired is biologically perverse. So for newspapers who publish the likes of Douglas Murray, The Spectator, which publishes an explicit great replacement screed like that written by Lionel Shriver, these institutions are responsible for creating environments where violence is more likely.
But the same Ash Shakar before that said, yes, it's happening and it's a great thing.
Similarly, he points out that in London, the white British population has decreased by 600,000, while the minority population has increased by 1.2 million. So yes, lads, we're winning.
Well then, which is it? It's not happening or it's a great thing, because these same people say both at the same time. Now, while racism has been called a public health emergency and the project to rapidly transform the demographics of both America and the wider West is hailed as the precursor to the eventual end of racism, hierarchies, and discrimination, well, unfortunately, the example of a half a millennium of mixing in South America, according to academics, has demonstrated that no matter the changes in societal composition, people will always find ways to wall themselves into distinct categories and then use those categories to create hierarchies, no matter what. Thus, can we end poverty, end the patriarchy, end sexism, end all of the noun plus phobias? Can we end racism? Probably not. Yet, in the pursuit of a better self amid these endless divides, consider this.
This powder pulls off three things clinics charge 10 grand for, but it's FDA approved, so tough luck for them. It releases bone marrow stem cells, makes you 27% harder to kill, and floods you with nitric oxide. It's like ordering the full stem cell menu with the cherry on top, but chocolate instead and dirt cheap. And it's not hype. Top herbal expert Dr. Simon Mills explains.
Dark chocolate is a medicine, end of. It's one of the best medicines around. Is 50 grams, 100 grams of 75% or more dark chocolate. Brain health as well, cardiovascular health. They do studies where they've put cocoa into volunteers, that means students usually, so young kids, and they were able to show changes in the blood flow within minutes, certainly within an hour of eating cocoa. Beneficial changes in your blood flow.
They call it the heart medicine.
Yeah, heart, circulation, brain. But it also, of course, we know it contains a few other beneficial stimulating effects. Sort of similar to the effects with coffee, which incidentally, as I've already said, is a medicine as well. But cocoa and chocolate does have an uplifting effect, which is why we love it so.
The secret of dark chocolate's flavanols? Regular processing kills them, just 50 milligrams in normal chocolate, but Black Forest packs 1,200 milligrams of pharmaceutical-extracted active ones. Normally, supplements can't claim benefits, but the FDA approved one for cocoa flavanols, saying they support heart health and cut cardiovascular risk, because the evidence was just too strong to ignore. Studies prove a sharper brain in cognitive tests, 80% better blood flow, and 27% lower death risk. And that's from Harvard's 21,000-person trial. Me, myself, well, now my memory's computer sharp and my libido is at teenage level. I also sprint stairs. It's made in the USA, and right now Black Forest has an incredible Christmas deal, 40% off their best-selling cocoa formula. Available for 48 hours only and ends forever soon, as skyrocketing cocoa prices mean it'll never be this cheap again. So choose it over slow decline and stock up now and take control of your health before someone else does it for you.
Now then, given the grotesque nature of shadow banning and censorship on big tech sites, I of course have to provide a caveat. This video is not about racism, being good or nice, or providing gumdrops and rainbows of utopia. It's about what socio-anthropologists discuss with regard to our species and the reality of our actions, both historically and presently. Put in a nutshell, even if the whole world is mixed, as they have studied, hierarchies will not disappear, as much as people would like them to. And as these social scientists explain, racism is only a reflection of what the famed zoologist Desmond Morris called the human animal and our ability to stake territorial and resource claims and our group's rights to them against opposing claims from other groups. Now, take, for example, the egregious Minnesota welfare fraud schemes masterminded by Somali-American cliques, ruthlessly exploiting their ethnic networks to fabricate nonprofits and pilfer billions in public funds. And couple that with the recent viral Amazon warehouse Christmas party video in Canada, as that entire warehouse was staffed exclusively by Indian workers. Both of these instances clearly display extreme ethnocentrism through in-group preference in hiring, networking, resource allocation, and resource plundering on both sides of the border. But how is any of this relevant? Well, it's relevant because ethnocentrism is the default of human beings, much more so than humanitarianism, and that is the selfless concern for the well-being of all people, regardless of background. And that's because human brains have been hardwired via evolution to prioritize in-groups like family, tribe, or nation for survival and resource sharing in ancient times when resources were scarce and threats were constant. This hardwired instinct fosters quick loyalty and bias toward those who look, act, or think similarly, making it feel natural and automatic, while humanitarianism requires conscious effort to extend empathy beyond our immediate circles, often needing education, exposure to diversity, or moral reasoning to overcome those built-in tribal urges in the now modern multicultural West. In the 2009 paper, Why is Ethnocentrism More Common Than Humanitarianism?, the authors built an agent-based evolutionary simulation to explain why ethnocentrism, cooperating only with in-group members, always evolves to dominate over humanitarianism, and that being universal cooperation, despite both emerging from neutral starting points and conditions in a spatial prisoner's dilemma game on a lattice grid. In the simulation, agents live on a grid and play a simple cooperation game with their neighbors. Each agent has a random tag, like a team color, and follows one of four basic rules. Ethnocentric, they help same tag agents, but not others. Humanitarian, they help everyone. Selfish, help no one, and the traitorous, help outsiders, but not their own group. The researchers found that ethnocentrism wins every time because it can take advantage of humanitarians. At the border where groups touch, ethnocentrics get help from humanitarians without giving anything back. And this edge lets ethnocentric groups slowly grow and take over, especially when the grid gets full. And another idea that is firmly rooted within the Western zeitgeist is that humanitarians, and the case of Western society, humanitarian societies, well, they are better at stopping selfish agents. But this wasn't true. In simple terms, even with simple, basic rules and no real thinking, favoring your own in-group easily beats being kind to everyone. And this helps explain why in-group favoritism is so common in the real world. But this reality is completely at odds with perhaps the most important core tenet and value in the West, that in-group preference is abhorrent, and that anti-racism is perhaps the most important virtue within a multicultural society, and that there is still a strong belief that mixing everyone within Western societies is a good thing, as it will finally end ethnocentrism and thus end racism. But will it? Well, according to a 2019 Pew Research Center survey, about 74% of Black Americans say that being Black is extremely or very important to their identity, compared to 59% of Hispanics saying the same thing about being Hispanic, 56% of Asians about being Asian, and only 15% of white Americans about being white. Thus, what's clear is that there seems to be very much a disconnect between the various groups within the extremely heterogeneous U.S. with regards to in-group and identity. While segments of the population believe in a utopian future where everyone is mixed and distinctions and discrimination will disappear forever, the case of South America is an interesting as well as stark reminder of reality crashing headlong into utopian fantasies about a better, more perfect world. According to Peter Wade, a professor of social anthropology at the University of Manchester who has written books on race in Latin America, well, he has stated,
"The unequivocal lesson from Latin America is that even when everyone is mixed, racism doesn't go away. In Latin American societies, mixture has been going on for 500 years. A majority of people in these societies would recognize themselves as mixed. Nevertheless, we still see very clear racism simply because some people see themselves as, and are, more European and less Black or indigenous than others. Not everybody is equally mixed. In a theoretical future scenario where everyone is mixed to the same extent, and we were all the same shade of brown, racism might still exist, but it would take a very different form."
Thus, even if everyone is mixed, human beings will never look exactly the same. Professor Wade also says even the most minuscule of differences are enough to generate racial categorizations.
"Human beings are incredibly attentive to fine degrees of difference. We're always going to be ready to attribute significance to those differences and to make hierarchical distinctions so that some people can claim superiority based on exactly what they look like in terms of familiar aspects like skin color, hair type, or nose shape."
Basically, if there is a way, and if history is anything to go by, people will always separate themselves into groups and then use those categories to create hierarchies. More sobering is the fact that Professor Wade points out that the slippery adaptability is the tricky thing about racism and makes it hard to predict when or how it could ever be eradicated in the future. Also, he infers that the desire to romanticize mixed-race people as a solution to societal racial ills is not reflective of reality. It is only reflective of the kind of stories that society would like to believe about itself. And now, in 2026, the politics of division are only intensifying and people are now grouping themselves along political lines, I would say, just as strongly as any other distinction. And forgive the pun, but these issues and their solutions are not black and white and are myriad in nature. Moreover, given what we know, what chance do humans really have to ever stamp out our natural instincts to categorize ourselves with in-groups and others as out-groups? Now, in the end, all that we've learned in this video shows that it really does make sense when you read about Indians practicing nepotism in Canada and Somalis plundering government coffers in Minnesota. Their method of in-group preference provides the best results for their tribes within a multicultural society that touts its humanistic values. And the only way to understand this is to start from a position rooted in reality, not a hoped-for fictional fantasy. But alas, feelings have not cared about facts for a long time, and I do not see this changing anytime soon. So that was a long one with a lot of information, and the first one for 2026 for this channel. But what do you think? Leave me your thoughts in the comment section below. Also remember, if you liked the video, to give it a thumbs up on your way out. Also, if you'd like to help the channel, ways of doing so are in the description. It'd be very much appreciated. And remember to check out Black Forest Supplements and their amazing products and take control of your health before someone else does it for you. And with that, I'd like to say Happy New Year and thanks for watching. And I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.